Now I have Caroline Mooney. She's the health coordinator of AKIDWA, Migrant Women's Health Coordinator. Yes. Is that it, Caroline?
Yes, Lakshmi.
Good morning.
Good morning
and welcome to our program.
Thank you.
So, tell us about AKIDWA. Maybe you start with that.
Yes, AKIDWA is an organization which was started here in Dublin almost 20 years ago. To look at the rights and the welfare of migrant women. Yes. Mm-hmm. And AKIDWA stands for Akina Dada wa Afrika in Kiswahili, which means sisters from Africa.
That's lovely. Not only Africa, it's from all over the world,
from
isn't it?
From all over. For as long as you're a migrant, the African sisters
all migrant
will
women.
Have you.
Yes. So you and me both.
Yeah. Thank you, Lakshmi.
Yes.
You're very kind.
Right. And so tell us about your special role in AKIDWA and about the forthcoming conference.
Oh, thank you. In AKIDWA, I am the Migrant Women's Health Coordinator. And as the Migrant Women's Health, I ensure that the welfare of a migrant woman is looked after. She's able to access the services here in Ireland. And I try to make it, to make sure that it's culturally appropriate in terms of communication, so that the woman will not feel isolated, she'll feel included. That's what we want. We want like the migrant women to be able to access the services and to help their health seeking behaviors. And about the conference which will be holding tomorrow at the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, Green Street, it will be about debunking the myths around the practice of female genital mutilation or cutting. And again, as I've said, we want to look at how we can improve the way we relate with migrant women, especially that group of women who have gone through female genital mutilation, because they have special vulnerabilities which needs to be looked at very, very carefully. Again, to improve their health-seeking behaviors, to make sure they are not isolated, and to make sure that their special needs arising from the different forms of cutting which are looked after.
Yes. Could you tell us, I know it's I mean, when I hear it as a woman, my body absolutely reacts to it. When I hear about mutilation,
it's
actually expressed in the right way. It is female, genital mutilation.
Yes.
And it has, people think that it has kind of religious connotations. Could you explain a little bit about, is it cultural, it's social, what is it?
Us at AKIDWA, we say that female genital mutilation is a harmful cultural practice. And we do not talk about it as a religious practice, because the practice of GM was there before Christianity and Islam as we know it today.
Yes.
So we do not, we like saying that, or we say that it's a harmful cultural practice.
Yes.
But not a religious practice.
And is it banned, or is it against the law here in Ireland, or in wherever the diaspora, African diaspora is?
In Ireland, the practice of female genital mutilation is against the law, and the law came into force in the year 2012. Yeah, in Ireland, and AKIDWA was in the forefront of ensuring that that law came to be. And I also want to say that in most African countries where FGM is practiced, it is against the law.
Yes.
But it continues to thrive underground because, again, of that strong cultural connotation to that practice. And if it's a cultural norm, there are reasons why it is done, and one of them is for women to feel accepted in their communities. Because if you come from a community where it is the norm and it is not done on you, a woman will tend to feel isolated, and not many women, not many families want that to happen to their child. And also for marriageability. If you come from a community, again, where it is the norm, it's likely that a girl will not get a man to marry her.
Yes.
And
that's a big thing, isn't it?
That's a big thing.
Yes, because the idea is that a woman should get married and a girl should.
Exactly.
And then they also have very young girls getting married.
Yeah,
at
getting
13,
off married
12, 13.
In the middle of their practice. And other reasons which are prevalent for the continuity of FGM, issues around hygiene. There are many things which are being said on the ground about FGM and why it should continue. And so what's going on is that when people migrate and come to places like Europe and Ireland, they come with their culture, and so they want to practice that, and that's why we are trying to have the conference tomorrow to debunk those myths around FGM. And I also want to say that the same myths and the same misunderstandings, I think it's safe to call them misunderstandings, are existing on the part of the community we are performing the FGM, and also on the part of the professionals, because, like, for example, like in the course of our interactions with professionals, you'll hear people saying that barbaric practice.
Yes.
If you're going to call it barbaric, for example, and you're working with people where it is prevalent, those people will not come forth
exactly.
Even to seek services. Yes. When you hold a meeting, they'll not come, yet we need them because we want to ensure that children are protected.
Yes.
So we have to use the right language. And also remember, if you look at what I have said are the reasons why FGM is practiced, even in communities where it is the norm, it does not come from a place of hatred for the child. It comes from a place of love. So I want to say that FGM does not exist in isolation of other things. It happens, again, in what I like calling in a context of very, very active culture.
Mm.
So that's why it's a very, very hidden problem.
Yes. It's not something people talk about.
And it's very difficult to get rid of. So we need to be very careful and strategic. And this time, that is why Akidwa has decided to approach this issue by looking at the communication strategies. How
yes.
do we go about it? What are the myths? Because, like, if you can imagine, if there are misunderstandings on the ground, on the part of the community, and then also the people or the professionals who are trying to work on it are also not understanding it, it's likely that we are not going to aid the practice of FGM, and the children will be exposed to harm. And we want to protect the children, and we want the women to come and access services in hospitals. And
so one of the things that we need to pinpoint really is that it is not a religious practice. It's before, I think I was doing some research in it, and it is a pharaonic practice.
It predates Christianity
it's Egyptian,
and Islam as we know it.
So it's a cultural practice
So which is harmful.
It is very harmful indeed. But as I was doing this research, I found that there were actually, strangely, even it was practiced to a certain extent as called the operation by Isaac Baker Brown. He was responsible member of the London Medical Establishment, and he was practicing it. I think it's to do with keep women who were, had issues on mental health, or as they call it, hysteria, so it was one of the remedies for it.
Yes, I've heard about
I was very
that,
surprised,
yeah,
but
with hysteria
this is so,
and mental health, and if a woman or a small girl showed certain sexual behaviors.
Yes, to curb their sexual behaviors.
Yeah,
yes,
they do that. But I want to say that I've not done a lot of research on that. I've not done a lot of research about that issue, but I remember coming across it in one of my readings.
Isn't it? I was very surprised.
Interesting and surprising. Yeah.
Yes, and actually, they said it's even the operation was actually supported by the bishops of Canterbury and York, and at that time it was seen as a yeah. culturally okay.
Yeah,
just like now.
Just
I
like
suppose,
now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's
so it's something. So it's something which can aid if it's approached properly.
Yes.
Yeah. That so there's evidence to show that the practice of female genital mutilation can be aided, but we need to employ the right strategies.
Yes.
In terms of resources and yes. how we talk about it and how we interact with practicing communities, how we fund organizations like Akidwa, which are burning the midnight oil, literally working with women who are vulnerable, and also like with children who are very, very vulnerable to this.
Especially,
practice in
it's yeah. a little bit like sexual abuse, which is hidden. It's a hidden thing, isn't it?
It's a form of
and do you think abuse. There is a connection between it? Can you call it an abuse of sexuality?
It's actually, it's a form of, for me right now, I think it will be safe to call the practice of FGM child abuse, a
yes.
form of child abuse.
Yes.
And that is why we are calling on increased child protection.
Yes.
Because we have, I think we have over around 16,000 children who are at risk. Of
really?
FGM in Ireland, and those children need protection, and that is why one of the reasons for the conference tomorrow at the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, we want to increase protection for children as we increase the access to services for them, for the women who are affected by FGM. Mm. We want them not to feel shy, not to feel isolated. And that is why Akidwa has been working with the doctors and the nurses, also the students of nursing and midwifery, social workers in Rotunda and the Coombe. We've been working very, very closely with them, and also in other institutes which train nurses like the DOC, DKIT, sorry. Yeah, because we want to increase protection for children. We want good care for women, especially those who are presenting in the maternity hospitals here in Ireland, and they have gone through the practice.
Actually, once
we want
you
them
have
to be treated well.
When you do have FGM, there are complications, health complications.
Yes.
After it.
Yes.
And so you need to treat this.
Yes. And that is what we've been talking about with medical professionals and the social workers, and about the health consequences of FGM, which are very dire and severe. Mm. Like, they are lifelong consequences. Mm. They are what you call short-term, but they are also long-life consequences because of the trauma of FGM. And so we want the women to be treated well, to be understood, to be able to ask questions. Because a woman who has gone through the practice of FGM in her lifetime, she visits the gyna, or she's supposed to visit the gyna 5 times more than the average woman because of various complications which are arising from FGM. And not just the gynecologists, but also like mental health specialists.
Yes, connected to it.
Yeah,
yes.
Because it also has very serious and adverse psychological complications on women who have gone through it.
I suppose sexuality is part of pleasure, and I mean, if it's pain, if it's connected with pain, generally, it has to be.
It has to be sorted.
Mentally
affected. It has to be done.
Yes.
Yeah, and that is one. Like, for example, for women who have gone through FGM at type 3, which is the most severe form of FGM, when it comes to having babies or even after they've had babies, we are taking them to Rotunda for repair and counseling. And even women who have not gone necessarily type 3, we are still trying to see how they can access culturally appropriate counseling services. And please, I want you to note culturally appropriate, like even how you approach it, how you sit with the woman, how you talk to her about it, for her to open up completely so that you can be able to work with her. And not just that, we are also to look at how we can increase help. We can increase help for professionals who are working in the front line.
That's a really
with
important
women,
thing.
Yeah, with women who have gone through such traumatic experiences. And this is something actually I was pursuing. I was talking about with the social workers from the
queen. You mean that they need to be trained?
They need to be trained.
It's special training
and looked after.
This, yes.
Because, like, dealing with people who have gone through some forms of trauma also affects professionals who are working with them.
Mm.
So that's why we are saying, like, we are looking at even more funding to help frontline workers and also the women and the children.
Mm.
And that's why organizations like AKIDWA need to be supported in their work. And I think that will be mentioned a lot, that will be talked a lot tomorrow on how to help AKIDWA to advance the work of protecting women who have gone through the
Do you think it's akin to kind of domestic violence?
It is
violence against women and children.
It is a form of cultural violence. We called it a harmful cultural practice, and FGM is a form of cultural violence which is perpetuated.
Perpetuated
to control men's sexuality.
It can be supported by the families.
It can be supported
the
by
women
families.
In the family, especially because they think they are. Mm. You know, their children or their grandchildren are, you know, become not part of society, but part of their own cultural society.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, because they want, if it's children, they want to participate.
Be included. It's,
yeah,
it's,
to be included
and
to participate actively in their culture. They
yes.
don't want just to be passive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying that we are using a multiplicity of approaches to aid the practice of FGM.
And also, it's really for the children.
Yeah, it's
children. A dilemma because they live in this culture.
Exactly.
And it doesn't happen to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, it's traumatic
for
the children.
It's very traumatic.
Because to choose this kind of thing that
goes
on in the family.
Actually, tomorrow we have one of my colleagues, Nanette. She'll be telling us about the results of her research, which she did with teenage girls, about how the practice of female genital mutilation affects young people in Europe. And I don't want to preempt, but from what I've seen from Nanette's, she's a psychologist from Nanette's research, is that there'll be a variance between how FGM affects young girls in Europe and how it affects young girls in Africa.
Mm.
Yeah, so like that's something you're really keeping under wraps to be.
Yes,
to
and be, can you learn lessons from Europe? Because, you know, there's a diaspora there, African diaspora in Europe.
Oh, yeah, there are lessons to be learned from Europe about how to tackle FGM.
Mm.
And there are also lessons to be learned from Africa.
Yes.
And like what AKIDWA we are trying to do, and again, without preempting, we are trying to see whether we can set up what we call a community of practice on the best practices of tackling FGM, so that AKIDWA can be a go-to organization, not just in Ireland, but also Europe-wide, on how to tackle FGM.
Mm.
And towards that, we are working very, very closely with what we call our community health ambassadors. And the community health ambassadors, what they do, they work in their own communities. Let's say Kilkenny, Cork, Dublin, whatever. We've drawn them from all over Ireland to talk about FGM in their own communities, to support a child in need, at risk, to help a mother who needs to go to hospital, all those things. And we have a special program for the community health ambassadors, which we are going to roll out, and that one we'll talk about it maybe towards January, because we have a big ceremony for that. But that's one of the ways. But we want to make it a very, very strong community of practice, and AKIDWA to become a go-to organization.
You mean
in
you want
FGM.
AKIDWA to have expertise, so
yes,
that people can avail of
it can
your
be
expertise.
Available. Yeah, and those people are living in the local communities where we have women and children who need protection.
Mm.
Yeah.
And also, you will be connected with the European movements.
Yes, we actually, AKIDWA is part of EdFGM network.
Mm.
Yes,
and so that you can pass on.
Yeah, we can pass on the best practices and all those things. The lessons
have a conversation
and have this conversation. Actually, thank you very much, Lakshmi. Mm. Tomorrow is about having this conversation.
Yes, yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely, yes, and it is with the community.
It's about the community.
It's a conference. It's really a conversation.
Mm. Yeah,
and how to go about doing things.
How to go about this?
Just like in the community, just like what you do.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, thank
normally,
you, Lakshmi. Yeah,
women sitting down together, and
exactly.
men and professionals sitting down together.
All of us sitting down together
and discussing
to say how we want to
what
go
to
about
do.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Lakshmi.
Thank
for
you,
having
Caroline.
Me. Thank you.
Actually, I forgot to say you're Dr. Caroline Money.
Right,
thank you.
More detail. Thank you.
Thank you.